Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Such a blessing and a privilege to be here this morning. My children, they keep us on our toes. The other day we were away. Where were we? We were with family on a long week, one of these long weekends. And then I think it was the Monday or somewhere on the Sunday or the Monday, one of them asked, "Dad, when are we going to church again?" Because they kind of figured out we missed church. And they were not happy with that arrangement. And they said, "When are we going to church?" So praise God, we are here, and it's a blessing to be here. The youngest one, Emily, she's 18 months now almost, and she's such a joy. She's got quite a strong will, though, we found, and a bit of a temper as well, if things don't go her way. But something that's really cute that she does now is when she sees something like when we put a plate of food in front of her or something, she goes, "Ooh!" And she goes, "Ooh!" And she's very excited about life. That's very cool. It reminds me, Abby and I, my oldest is 5, Abigail, and we went on a daddy-daughter date the other day, and we had a waffle. Actually, we had 2 huge waffles, which is way too much for us. But anyways, and I don't know if you've noticed, if you've met Abigail, but she's one of those people that she doesn't have a good poker face. You know, everything is visible on her face. And in other words, if something bothers her or if something doesn't seem right to her, you know, it's like really, it's there. But it was so blessed for me to see that while we were having this time together, it was so clear for me that she was really just so enjoying just being with her daddy alone. And also that was so visible on her face. And seeing her just enjoy that so much, really, it's, I don't know, for a dad, that's like the best thing. Don't you agree? Those parents here would agree that to see your child just enjoy something so much or really just appreciate something so much, and even maybe not even saying it, but just it was so visible on her face, and I just realized again that that's the way God, I believe, that's the way the Father relates to us. You know, when we find our delight in Him and in our time with Him, it really blesses Him. Amen. And that's for free. It's not part of the sermon, but I really felt that, God wants to just draw us back to that place where we find our delight in Him and we really just enjoy Him, and He responds to that. Amen. Let's just pray as we get in the Word. Oh God, we thank You, Lord, that we have this privilege, God, of drawing near to You this morning as a family, as a church family. We thank You that You are present here with us. We thank You, Lord, that You enjoy this time as much as we enjoy it. You enjoy it, Lord. You delight in Your children coming together and worshiping and enjoying You, Lord. And we just commit this time to You, and we commit our hearts to You. We choose now to lay down any distractions, Lord. We choose to lay down stuff that we worry about. And we declare right now, Lord, we trust You with these things. And we choose to be wholly present, completely here and present to You, Lord, to see Your kingdom come, to see Your will done in our lives and through our lives this morning, Lord. And everybody says, Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to look at a little piece of Psalm 91. I've noticed too late that the color that was on this template is really not the right one for this lighting. So I do apologize. You'll have to stick with me. just as I read this scripture here. Let's read from verse 1 and then 14 to 16. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Because He has set His love upon me. This is from the Lord's side. Because He has set His love upon me, verse 14, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and I show him my salvation. Hallelujah. excuse me. Well, if we think about this secret place, it makes me think of how we often don't understand. We often don't get the big picture, even now as adults. But I remember as children, you know, as a child, reading some stuff in the Bible and really being a little bit confused. You know, what is this secret place that he's talking about? Do you remember I remember when I was in primary school, coming into primary school, we used to have assemblies. I think quite often, I don't know if it was every morning, but we sang hymns, but there were no words. But everybody knew the words. And the great ones were just have to, you know, fall in. And I didn't know any of those, maybe one or two from Sunday school. But I remember then you learn the words, but you learn them phonetically, right? So you just sing what you think the other people are singing. And then anyway, then a year or three, four down the line, you realize, whoa, this stuff that I'm singing is really wacko and not biblical and not at all what the words of the hymn are. But anyways, I don't know if you've had that experience, but I remember I built myself a secret place once as a boy. We had this big piece of like young wattles growing there on our plot where we grew up, and little wattles, but very tight together. So they made almost like a wall, and I kind of wriggled myself through there, and I cut open a place, and I made myself this like den place. And as a child, you know, you think of a place like that, and you think about the secret place. Another thing, my sister used to believe about the Bible, my younger sister. She used to read the Bible as a young girl, and she would be so amazed by the people of the Bible, which is still the case, I suppose. And she would, you know, she would recognize that the Bible is kind of chronological to a certain extent, you know, starting with Genesis, and there's some parts that are chronological. And she was amazed by the people described in the Bible. And they were all amazing people for the most part, especially the stories you read as a child. And she prayed a prayer one day, and she said, Lord, what she believed is the Bible was still being written. You know, as stuff happens, stuff is getting written down. And she prayed, Lord, I want to also be in the Bible one day. You know, she wanted to be one of those amazing people, you know, written down. In any case, but now if we think about the secret place, what does it refer to? It's not a, although maybe sometimes as a parent, you know, you wish you had a secret place to where the children can't find you just for a few minutes. The secret place doesn't refer to a physical place as much as it refers to the way that we relate to God. If you look at what it says here, it refers to how the writer experiences their relationship with the Father. Do you see that? It obviously, it doesn't refer to a physical place that he necessarily goes to. Obviously, it refers to, in Scripture, sometimes refers to a prayer closet or to a place where we can go and pray. But I believe this very much refers to the way we relate to the Father. What do we experience? How do we relate to Him? Is it and this is something I believe is very different for each one of us. I've seen it, I remember growing up being very much afraid of God, but which is not a bad thing in itself. But I was living in fear of judgment. I was in fear of a judgment of an angry God and a God. I was kind of thinking of a oldish kind of man, old man with a beard, with a stick type of image. You know, some of us have that image growing up of God demanding perfection of us and putting down lots of rules. And I'm so grateful to God that over the years He's delivered me from these complete, falsehoods about who He is. But, so we all have different ways we relate to God and the ways we picture God and the way we hear His voice and the way we relate to Him. But it's so important for us to continue to seek Him. Amen. What I've also noticed is that the way we relate to our earthly father, the way we experienced family has a massive impact on how we relate to our Heavenly Father. And if we don't see that, we often allow our experience to skew how we see God and how we experience Him. And I want to really encourage us we're going to look at a few specific points this morning, but to really continue to say, Lord, deliver me from any stuff from my past that is skewing the way I look at You, or that is keeping me from seeing You for who You really are. And what a privilege and what an exciting journey it is to continue to discover God in every day. Isn't that amazing? It's being married is similar. I don't know, some of the unmarried guys will not know this, but you get married to a whole bunch of different ladies because the one that you marry initially is different to the one that when the first child comes. There's a whole lot of different things that happen, a whole lot of changes. Sorry, it's not completely serious, but but it's such a discovery journey as we journey together and one gets to know each other, and it continues for our lives. In a similar way, we continue to seek God, we continue to get to know Him, we continue to receive new revelation about who He is. So let's continue a little bit. And now, specifically in the context of us busy reaching out through the explore groups, and if you're not in one or if you're not hosting one at the moment, this is just as much relevant to each of us where we are, as a church family, we are taking strides towards each one of us as a church family, as a collective, but also as individuals, being empowered and being able to minister to those God has put around us, to make a difference in somebody's life, somebody that God has put around us. So, I want to look at Exodus chapter 13 and just a little bit at how the nation of Israel experienced the secret place or being with God in their time in the wilderness. From verse 18 and then 20 and 22. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, I don't know, see a few here that I know there's a couple that were able to go to Bloemfontein last weekend. Some say it must have been a similar amount of people. Some say the nation of Israel were actually more than that, a couple of million. But if you know, in the context of what we experienced there, it was really, it was really a great blessing, great experience to be there. And if you were there, I want to really encourage you, and to encourage others that were there also, that prayer is not a one-time thing, right? Prayer is not a once-off. Interceding for our nation is not a once-off. And that's why we have First Monday prayer as well. So please join us there. But can you imagine this? Can you imagine this massive nation of people traveling, journeying through the wilderness? And now this includes livestock. It includes, to a certain extent, livestock. It includes, obviously, people of all ages, equipment, stuff they had to take with them. This massive amount of people. And then, this is maybe one of those things I want to ask God one day, can He just give me a replay? Can we just have a look at what this must have looked like of this nation traveling together and this pillar in front of them? The presence of God in a cloud, in a pillar of cloud before them. And the night must have been spectacular, right? Pillar of fire before them. And maybe not just light, but maybe it was even warmth as well. But this speaks of a lot of things. Both the what we read about the secret place, about the shadow of the Almighty, and the way God directed them speaks of a few things. And I wanted to connect that to I just want to pick out a few points of what does that look like, that place of that secret place, that place in the shadow of the Almighty, as we seek Him, as we seek to be His hands and feet, as we seek to do His will out there. Firstly, now this was for the nation of Israel, if we look at this specific part here, not an easy time, right? This was a time that was really a tough season for the nation of Israel. They were before this season, they were at the brink, they were at the Jordan, they were at the place of seeing God's promise, and then they made a bad call and they decided they want to go in, and stuff went badly wrong, and they found themselves not at the promised land anymore, but in the wilderness. And so this was not an easy season for the nation of Israel. In fact, the Lord sent them back to the wilderness so that that whole generation could pass on before He would take the new generation in. And I just felt this morning that there's some of us here that are going through something like that. Maybe not the easiest of seasons. Maybe not the season where everything seems to go wrong, seems to go right all the time. And I just feel that God really wants to hold a few things before you. If that's you this morning, God knows who you are, knows where you're at, knows what you're working through. So even in a tough season like this, we look at the nation of Israel. The Lord was there, and He did not depart from them. Amen. He was there in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. In other words, continually, 24/7, He was with them. So if that's you this morning, I believe God wants to encourage you, saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. I will not depart from you. My provision is sufficient for you. So let's have a look at a few points specifically. Firstly, this place is a place of protection, a place of covering that we enjoy in His presence, a place of knowing that we don't have to fear any man. I love the psalmist writes a few times, you know, if my God is for me, who can be against me? You know, I don't have to fear any man. And in my own life, that was a big thing for a big part of my young life, was a fear of man. Trying to please people, trying to win approval from people. God delivers us from that place, that secret place, that place of refuge, that life that we live in how we relate to Him. He desires for us to be free from fear. Guys, and I don't know about you, but I've found that, you know, moving back from England, that there were a little few buttons that were pushed in my heart in terms of fear. Now, what happens if you live overseas is you get all the bad news. Okay, you don't get any good news. In fact, you get the worst news. That's all you hear. You get all the bad reports and you get all the bad statistics. You don't get any good news. And what unfortunately happens is, you know, even on social media and stuff, you get groups of people that are expats. And they kind of want to justify why they are not here, why they are there. So what comes up is all the bad stuff, and then I say, yes, you know, so they're just so glad they're not there anymore. So coming back, there was really a few things that popped up, and I realized that we had to really deal with this nonsense. We can't come and live in fear. We are coming with the conviction that this is where God has called us to be. This is where God has called us to live. And I remember having a few conversations around that, you know, thinking about what security do we need at our house and stuff like that. Where in the UK, you need to come back from a long weekend, you realize, oh, you left your front door open. You know? And then everything is fine. Front door is open all weekend, in any case. We had to really face a few fears and we had to deal with a few fears. But that is one of the things I believe that God desires for us, is to live in a place where we are fearless. Scripture says death has lost its sting. And what is there that we can fear? We fear only God. We worship Him only. And we know in His presence and in that place of when we relate to Him, there's a place of protection that He has prepared for us. Okay, I need to move a little bit quicker. There's a place of provision. And in the context of reaching out, in the context of reaching out to the people on God's heart, I want to really encourage us. The one thing that I've found, you know, as we grow in our relationship with God, I don't know about you, but it's, for me, I remember finding it so exciting to recognize that God knows about the little things in my life. You know, the prayers, the needs, the little things that you and I often don't even want to pray about because they feel so silly and inconsequential. And you think, oh, you know, surely I can't bother God with this. And then the Lord actually provides for even those little things. But I've found when I reach out to others and when I'm actually investing my faith and my time and my just who I am, myself, into other people, there's an incredible thing that happens in my heart as I get to see God's heart for others in an incredible way. We get to know God's heart towards us in a certain way as we grow in Him. But as we partner with Him in reaching out to others and loving others and serving others, guys, I can't describe. Many of you have already experienced that. There's no greater fulfillment and to partner with God and seeing Him change somebody's life, even if I just have something small role to play. But to start to see God's heart for others, for those that don't know Him, even in the little things, really changed me. I remember one time way back when I was out of school and married, but house-sitting for somebody, over Christmas, and I was at my folks for the evening, and I left back to the house where I was house sitting, and I was about to turn at the obvious route, and the Holy Spirit clearly said to me, "Go the other way." There was a bit of a rationalizing going on in my head, as often does, you know. But this is not a good route, you know. This is about 30 k's extra, and it's like 1 a.m. This is not a good idea type of thing. Anyway, long story short, I took the crazy route, and somewhere on my route, which was completely deserted, there was one man standing next to the road on his own, just in this completely deserted place. And I felt this is the reason why. And I stopped, and I asked him if he's all right. He was not all right. He'd actually crashed his car into the ditch, which the car wasn't visible. It was like, you know. A long story short, I was able to help him, and I was able to get his car out of the ditch. He was, by the way, completely plastered I have not seen many more drunk people than that in my life. But in any case, but I was just amazed by the grace of God to send me on this different journey and this different route. Not for a spirit-filled, full-of-faith believer, but for this poor guy, older man, completely drunk out of his mind. But God reached out to him. Isn't that amazing? Any case, so we find this place of provision. And I want to really encourage us, when we are reaching out to others, and even in our workplace, and even in our community, know that when God says He has made an abundance available for every good work, that is so true. No, but that abundance for every good work does not become visible or doesn't come evident until we're actually busy with the good work. This is obviously sometimes where the faith crisis comes in. We seem like we're ill-equipped. We seem like we don't have enough, whatever it is that this person needs. But the provision does not become evident until we are busy doing the work that God has put before us. If we look at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus, thank God, he had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish that from the little boy's lunch. And some say that it was not only that if the men were 5,000, then there might have been about 20,000 people altogether, right? And if you think about it, the miracle actually happened in the hands of the disciples, because Jesus, thank God, he broke the food and he distributed it to the disciples, which wasn't actually a lot, it was just like a little bit. And the real miracle happened when they actually went to the people and started to hand out the food. In other words, whoa, this is wrong. This is never going to work. I've only got enough for one person. But as they actually moved in obedience, that's when the miracle happened. So that provision, that abundance for every good work, only becomes visible and evident when we actually have taken the step of faith. Amen. Okay, then I've got 4 P's here. Okay, we've done 2. Then there's a place of power. I want us to read from 1 Jeremiah. If you've ever wondered what's God's phone number, Jeremiah 33, verse 3, right? 333. Let's read from 2. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. One of the key places, one of the key things about us being in the secret place is the understanding, the revelation that we can call on Him. No matter what, no matter where, no matter what the circumstance, we can call on Him and He will answer and He will show us great and mighty things. Okay, I'm not going to stand still here long. So, let's look at John chapter 14, from 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then a bit further on in verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Guys, how often do we as believers feel like orphans? How often do we face a challenge or wanting to reach out to somebody, or we just feel isolated, we feel alone? But we need to deal with these kind of feelings and fears, because they're not of God. He says, I will not leave you orphans. He says, in fact, I will send you a helper. The Greek there is a parakletos, the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the one that comes alongside to help. Guys, this, in terms of ministry, in terms of reaching out, in terms of making a difference in somebody else's life, there's nothing that has impacted my life and has transformed my life as radically as seeing the helper, seeing the Holy Spirit come alongside. It's just changes the way one looks at ministering to others. God, you know, the Holy Spirit is very much in the details when we are stepping out
doing the good work. See, when you are stepping out in faith, in obedience to what God is saying. One time on a mission to India, we did a little bit of a scouting mission. There was a big team, and then three of us went for the weekend to a different town. We flew, which was a little local airline in India, which was a whole new adventure in itself. But the three of us went to Bangalore for the weekend, and the problem was the communication with the local church was very difficult. So by the time we flew, we hadn't been able to reach them. We didn't have anything arranged. We still went. We still felt like we have to go. We arrived on the Bangalore airport, and we couldn't reach anybody. Now we were in this huge city, a couple of million, and we were there going to be there for the weekend, right? So I already had visions of us being there on the airport for the weekend. But in any case, so I remembered the name of the kind of area where the pastor lived. So I said to the guys, let's get into one of these tuk-tuks, you know, these three-wheel things, and let's drive to that area. And I told the guy this name of the area, and he says, Eric, you understood what I was saying. So I was like, praise God, and we went in that direction. Now, if you've ever been in a Indian city, it's completely chaos, guys. Right? It's just cars and cows and buses and trucks and more cows everywhere. And I recognized the main street of now once we were in this place, Banaswari. And I recognized even the place where the church was because it was in the main street. But there was nobody there and nothing happening. Still no luck. And then, luck. In any case. And then I said, guys, we're going to really pray hard now. We're going to pray in the Spirit and we're going to trust God to direct us. Give us directions. All right? Sounds like a plan. In any case, when you're on mission, you know, you have extra faith for stuff like that. And I remember, and I said to the guy, okay, that direction, let's go. And we went. And I don't know, you pray in the Spirit. I said, okay, left, yeah, we go left. And we pray, go wait, right. And we go right. And we like pray, and we go. And it's just chaos, you know, kids and bicycles and buses and cows and stuff. And then at one stage, my faith just got a bit thin. I just said, no, yeah, this is not right. Hey, this looks wrong. I didn't recognize anything. Everything looks the same. I said to the guy, well, I think we're going to have to turn around. I don't know what we're going to do, but this is crazy. And then as you slow down to turn around, we had to kind of stop and wait for a little thing, cart, that somebody was selling stuff. And as we stopped, I looked left, and there was the pastor's house. Huh? And we're like, whoa, stop. In any case, they were very surprised to see us, but they were very happy to see us. But the Holy Spirit is in the little things, guys. When we step out in faith and we step out in obedience, then the abundance of every good work, for every good work, becomes evident. And we recognize that when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, guys, there's nothing that's impossible. There's nothing impossible. In fact, it's in the moments where there's the greatest impossibilities that the power of God is most evident. The moments when I feel the least equipped, when I feel the most out of my depth, when I feel, like, whoa, God, this situation is not for me. It's somebody else. You must send somebody else for this situation. It's in those moments that we recognize the power of the Holy Spirit is upon us. Amen. So there's a power that we, in that place of refuge, there's a power when we live from that place, that secret place. He knows. The Holy Spirit knows the people that we're ministering to, guys. He knows every detail. We can trust Him for words. We can trust Him for the right prayers to pray. We can trust Him to recognize the real needs of the people we're reaching out to. Guys, I've never had a doubt when I'm praying for somebody else. Maybe sometimes when I'm praying for myself, yes. But you know, I've been so convinced of God's heart for people that when I pray for others' needs or when I pray for a word for someone, I'm so convinced that God wants to speak to them that I know He's going to speak. Amen? Okay, let's close. So the last one I want to look at is peace. In this place of refuge, there's peace. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Isaiah 43, 1, 2, 3. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. We have friends of ours in Shofar Joburg, that family, close family of theirs, had this scripture for them on their wedding day. And it was a bit of an odd one. It's not really the normal, you know, wedding scripture. And then as they were starting their honeymoon, the people got the scripture again and again, and they kept on having to pray and pray and pray over them. And some of the family were woken up at night by an audible voice telling them to pray for this couple. And so their destination was Thailand, and they were there at the exact moment the tsunami hit. And this is the word that they got. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow. And by absolutely miraculous godly intervention, they survive. But guys, this stuff, this kind of promise is not just up there in the air. The peace that we have with us when we are living in that place of refuge is what all directs us. There have been times in my life maybe it's because we're so, as believers, we're so used to this peace that when it's not there, it's like, whoa, what happened now? I remember once or twice about to make a decision, about to sign a contract, or about to, one time it was actually twice it was a car. It seems like God doesn't want me to buy cars. Praise God. Anyways, so I was like literally sitting with the agent signing the documents, and then the Lord just said no. And the peace of God just left me. I was like, whoa, okay, whoa, stop. And I said, listen, I can't buy this car. There are a few times that it happened to me. But Scripture actually says that He guides us with His peace, directs our steps. But that peace is something that is our portion. And if I found, and I also felt just praying beforehand, that if you are finding yourself in a place of chaos, in a place of where there's storms and maybe there's danger or even just lots of stuff coming at you, I really feel this morning that God wants to impart peace to you that is beyond what your circumstances are saying. That the Scripture says exceeds or transcends understanding. It doesn't make any sense. How often do people ask me, but shouldn't you be panicking now? Shouldn't you be stressing out or something? But the peace of God is in that place. Amen. Won't you stand with me this morning? I'm going to pray. So in the place of refuge, in that place, in the secret place, in that place and how we relate to Him, is a place of protection, is a place of provision, a place of power and peace. Amen. So this morning, you know, I just really feel that there's some people that God wants to just affirm you to know that He has not left you. He's not left you an orphan. Even though I just feel there's somebody specific that it's not been months, it's been years that things seem just to come against you. And I just feel the Father saying, my child, I'm with you. I've not forgotten. I've not abandoned you. And like I mentioned, the other one is that if you're not experiencing peace, and if there's lots of fears, I just feel there's some wrestling with lots of fears that are in your heart. I just feel this morning God wants to give you a peace that transcends understanding. Even when there's chaos around you, there's somebody here this morning that is in your family, close, but also extended family, there's absolute chaos at the moment. I just feel God wants to bring peace in your heart, to recognize His will, to be able to pray His will into your family. to be able to hear His voice, even when there's storms and there's stuff going on. You know, often when there's so much going on around us, we struggle to hear God, and that peace isn't there. Let's just close our eyes.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.